So I always feel like I was blessed to be kind of in the right place at the right time with the right people, right? So like to meet Nick and come out to California, that was huge for somebody in Kentucky. Interviewed two other agents in Big Bear, and I just knew Gary, and he had Sue. And Sue's a great person too, so I was like, this is a no-brainer, you know? So I joined Gary's team, and one of my qualities is I am such a committed person. I think when you do that strength finders, like commitment is one of my top ones, where it's like, mm-hmm. I will be with you forever kind of thing, as long as I'm treated well and treated fairly kind of thing. So we stayed together for a very long time. I kind of got to a point where I knew I could do it on my own, probably. But I was just too afraid to take the leap. And the other part was like, I didn't really need to really. But as teams grow, you know, like there's just more people that are there that it just becomes, like the resources were being like kind of spread thin, I guess you could say. So I wanted to move out on my own, but there was that, I think, change, right? Like nobody wants to do change. It's like, I'm comfortable here. I'm not going to change. I'll just stay here forever. But, you know, kind of forced to go on my own in a way. And it turned out to be beautiful.
Welcome back to Time Tested Mastery Life Lessons Sell. I'm your host, Mark Dolan. And today I get to introduce to you someone who truly embodies what it means to be a top producing real estate salesperson. Rachel Meadors is a broker associate with RE/MAX Big Bear, and what sets her apart is simple but powerful. She puts her head down and works. Rachel is the kind of person who doesn't wait for things to happen. She creates a system, builds a checklist, and then executes it. On top of that, she brings creativity, whether it's marketing strategies that stand out in a crowded space or the unique way she approaches people and relationships. It's that rare combination of discipline and innovation that makes her a force in this business. So please join me in welcoming Rachel to our show today.
Hello.
I want to welcome you, Rachel. It's so exciting to have you here. I know we talked in a previous podcast about some other things, but today I wanted to talk about your real estate career. And, you know, can you sort of give everybody an overview of how you found yourself getting into the business and you know, what it felt like, and sort of give us your backstory.
Okay. So I was born and raised in Louisville, Kentucky, one of three siblings, and a middle child, and my parents raised me to start working since I was like 13. I was going to sell jewelry with my mom. So doing a lot of that on weekends, and then I got my first like real job, I think at 14, somebody hired me illegally, and just mostly in sales kind of by accident. So we also, when we were in school, my parents would always make us be like the top candy bar salespeople. So we were not allowed to quit. She was like, you're going to win. And I was like, I don't really want to do that this weekend, but you were not able to tell my mom no. So fast forward, I was teaching in Kentucky, and then I met the owner of Big Bear Vacations one year. And he was at the Kentucky Derby, offered us jobs to move out to California. And we had just graduated college. So we were like, yes, please, we'll go there. And from there, he got us to run his vacation rental company, Big Bear Vacations. So did that for about, I want to say, 5-ish years. And then he also owned Keller Williams at the time. And so he needed somebody that was going to coach his real estate agents. So I said, hey, I think I'd be a good fit for that. So he said, in order for people to respect you, you've got to get your real estate license. So got my real estate license. And then he decided to sell Keller Williams like the day I got my real estate license. So then I kind of like, do I go backwards and go back to the vacation rental company, or do I go forwards and just try my hand at real estate? So that is how I landed in real estate. Completely.
So, well, there's a lot of things that you shared in there that, that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. The first one, you know, I think is a little bit different. I was the kid that would never, ever sell my own candy bars. My mom sold them for me. I was so introverted, I wouldn't sell anything. But that wasn't your experience, as I'm gathering.
No, not at all. But I mean, kind of, because we had an older brother. Me and my sister had an older brother, and we were all very similar in age. And so he was he didn't want to sell them because we were the cute little girls that everybody wanted to buy candy bars from. So she would make us sell ours, and then we'd have to dig into Brandon's selection and make him a winner too.
Yeah, so that's amazing. The other thing that I heard is you said you started working at 13.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very similar. I mean, I think I had a paper route at 9, 10, 11 years old. And, I look back at my life. I can't remember not working, and I have a hard time not working now. I don't have a healthy relationship with work. I promise you that. So that's a struggle. So, you know, I knew that you had grown up in Kentucky. I didn't really know all of that story about coming to California after meeting Nick. Nick's a friend of mine at Big Bear Vacations, and I've known him for years. So was that scary, or was that right in line with your adventurous spirit that you have?
I would say it was a little bit scary. I mean, my dad was a cop, so everything in life was supposed to be scary. If I was to move to California, I was going to get murdered by people out here because this is where all the killers live. So that part was scary because he kept force feeding me that line. But it was always something where it's like, I knew I could go back if I didn't like it, right? So it's like, try this out for a season. If it's great, it's great. If it's not, I can always go back and be a teacher if I wanted to be. So Scary in some ways, but I was also like well taken care of because we got to live in Nick's house on the lake. There were six or seven of us. We all lived in this basement. I mean, just completely, here's cars, here's planes, anything you want to do, you know, like just come to work. Because for him, he was looking at it as, I can't find good people that will show up to work in California. And we were like, we were born and bred to do this. Take us. So It was a great match.
Okay. That is an interesting backstory. So it's safe to say, I guess, that you didn't grow up saying, I'm going to become a real estate person when I grow up.
Not at all. I think I wanted to be a flight attendant would have been something, but the family, like my brother and sister, they're both teachers. So that's probably where I was headed to.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Excellent. So we find ourselves getting into real estate. Do you remember what year it was you started?
I want to say it was around 07, 08-ish. Well, I remember being at the vacation rental company where they also had Keller Williams in the office 07, 08. So I didn't actually get licensed until 2013, the end of 2013.
Okay. So you got into the business. Well, I mean, you came to California during a really bad period of time in the market in Big Bear. And then you got your license when things were sort of starting to improve and that kind of thing. So I remember when you first started selling real estate, you were not the typical brand new agent. And I would say not typical because I knew that you were calling a lot of people. You were working. Can you describe, you know, what it was like to start in the business? You know, what was your schedule like and what did you do when you first started?
So when I first started, I was kind of like getting my feet wet in it because I was half in, half out, right? Because it was, I'm going to start coaching real estate agents on how to use the program that Nick was paying for all of his real estate agents. So I was able to learn that way, but I was still under his umbrella of, you're still connected to vacation rentals, but you're learning real estate. And then I had kind of a realtor that took me under her wing, Jemana Grigsby. And so she would, you know, each time I would have a lead, she would help me. Let's go out, let's show them property and things like that. So she kind of walked me through, I would say, the first five transactions that I did. So I definitely had my hand held during that time. And then it got into, I think I started full time in 2014, where I joined Gary's team right off the bat. Like I went from Big Bear Vacations being like their only real estate agent with Jemana, and then I went to Remax with Gary. And from there, I would just show up every day. Like, and it was just like, I don't know what I'm coming here to do. I think he'll tell me what to do. But that was actually after I interviewed a couple different people. But I had known Gary in the past from vacation rental. Right. So I decided to go with him. He had an office in the Village, and I thought that that would be kind of exciting. Just you get like walk-in traffic. But schedule-wise, it was just go to work, find mm-hmm. something to do, and kind of just make things happen from there. But phone calls were never really a scary thing for me because I was used to being told no from candy bars and stuff like that. And so it's no big deal. You know, you're just not ready for a candy bar yet or a yeah. house.
Right, right. So, you know, I think it's, you know, I had remembered the connection of when you first started, but that's really good that you had a mentor to walk side by side with you during the first five or so transactions that you're talking about. I mean, starting out in this business, we don't know what we don't know. And just about every question that we get from a client when we're first starting, it's like the script I learned was, I don't know, but I'll find out. And then I go find out and then I call them back and give them the answer. And they so ask me another question.
Strategy.
I don't know, but I'll find out. You know, that is so empowering to be able to admit, I don't know. Let me call you. I'll find out and call you back.
I think people actually love it too, because they appreciate that you're not going to just lie to them or make something up. So
yeah,
it works
yeah.
well.
Okay. So if you're, you know, if you're a newer agent or if you haven't learned that lesson yet, don't make things up. Tell people, I don't know, but I'll find out and I'll call right. you back. That's a good way to go with it. You know, so then you transfer into, you know, working with Gary. You said, you know, basically you went to work and said, he'll tell me what to do. What did you start doing in the beginning?
A lot of it was following up on internet leads and following up on people that inquired about listings that he had. So I don't believe I had my own listing for a while. It took a little bit of time to get there. But he had like old people to call. Not old as in age, but like just dead leads to call.
Right.
And so it was a lot of that. And just getting used to the word no via real estate, right? And then just following up with any new person that was coming in, and then also going out and looking at homes, getting an idea of what things looked like. Because for me, I had that vacation rental background where it was like, these would make great rentals, but it's like, now what am I, I've got to be suggesting things differently to people looking to buy the house.
Right. Right. Interesting. You know, I'm thinking of how I started my relationship with Tim Wood. Mm-hmm. You know, when I joined his team, I want to say it was 1993. And when Tim and I got together to work, he said, you know, you've got $100,000 a year work ethic, Mark. And he says, and I've got leads falling off my plate. I think if we work together, we'll both make more money. And that proved to be true, you know. And the way that my relationship with Tim started was that he gave me a stack of paper leads, because they were paper back in those days.
Right.
I mean, it was about this thick of leads that he had that were what you had just said, dead leads. And he said, call through them, you know, call through them and make appointments and we'll work together on the different things. And, you know, and I did exactly what I was told. I started calling through, asking if they were ready to do something now, if not when, and made appointments for Tim to go on the appointments. And that was sort of the beginning of my professional growth. So it sounds like you had sort of a similar path with Gary a little bit.
Very similar. He would start to go on listing appointments, but by the time that I already had those five under my belt, I felt like I can do this. I can show property. I can walk inside. I can tell you if it's a good deal kind of thing. But the listings, that was the part where I was super uncomfortable, not quite ready. So I needed another hand holding through that. And that's where he would join me on the listing.
So you worked with him for quite a few years.
I think it was 10 or 11.
Yeah. And I was with Tim for 9.
Yep.
And so, you know, there's some similarities. I mean, a lot of the people that I'm talking with today, we don't start by being top producers in the business. We don't start by being recognized experts. I mean, there's usually a long learning process. And, you know, doctors and lawyers and accountants, they go to school for years in order to get their degrees and they do all these other things. And what I'm finding is a lot of the top producing agents that I meet had a long education period.
Right. Yeah.
Which is, and so, you know, that, you know, might lead to a little bit of an uncomfortable, you know, conversation to talk about, but there is a transition when somebody goes out on their own and they makes the decision as, hey, I want to do something different. You know, my career is ready to go in this direction or go in a different direction. You know, can you share a little bit about that transition and how you felt about it and what the thought process was going through it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I always feel like I was blessed to be kind of in the right place at the right time with the right people, right? So like to meet Nick and come out to California, that was huge for somebody in Kentucky. And then I interviewed, I think, two other agents in Big Bear, and I just knew Gary, and he had Sue. And Sue's a great person, too. So I was like, this is a no-brainer, you know? So I joined Gary's team, and one of my qualities is I am such a committed person. I think when you do that strength finders, like commitment is one of my top ones where it's like, I will be with you forever kind of thing, as long as I'm treated well and treated fairly kind of thing. So we stayed together for a very long time. I kind of got to a point where I knew I could do it on my own. Probably. But I was just too afraid to take the leap. And the other part was like, I didn't really need to really. But as teams grow, you know, like there's just more people that are there that it just becomes, like the resources were being like kind of spread thin, I guess you could say. So, so I wanted to move out on my own, but there was that, I think, change, right? Like nobody wants to do change. It's like, I'm comfortable here. I'm not going to change. I'll just stay here forever. But you know, kind of forced to go on my own in a way. And it turned out to be beautiful. Like it was scary. And every day I remember going through it. Every day I woke up like, oh my gosh, I'm terrified. But I would make it through the day. I would be able to sleep at night. I would have a plan for going forward, like what's tomorrow's game plan, just so I didn't like freak out and spiral kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and I think it's, you know, being around the business for 40 years, I have seen a lot of changes. The business has changed. Companies have come and gone. You know, teams have, you know, risen and fallen and different things. And, you know, the one constant thing that I recognize is that there is a lot of change. And I've seen a lot of bad breakups. Mm-hmm. I've rarely seen any change that doesn't have an emotional toll to it. You don't work with somebody for 10 years and not have, you know, ties to them.
Right.
I know certainly I did with Tim and the other people I've talked to, the same thing. And yet change is really normal. So I'm going to give a plug to a book for those listeners that are listening today. It's called The Winner Within by Pat Riley. I don't know if you've read it, but it is basically the story of the 1980s Lakers with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Magic Johnson and, you know, their dynasty into their, you know, the whole decade of excellence that they had. And the book is about the life cycles of a team. And, you know, one of the things that's really important for team leaders to recognize is that, yes, you know, we create a team in order to earn a profit and to build something that's special. But if we're really giving to the people that are on our teams, we don't expect them to need us forever.
Right.
Right. But we're going to grow to the point where they're going to have wings and they're going to go out and they're going to do their own things. I mean, I left a team. I've had people come and go, you know, with my own team and that kind of thing. So I think it's perfectly normal. And it's important to understand the life cycles of a team to know when a team either needs to regenerate for regrowth or whether they need to make a change. And if a team is not growing, then it's really not what the team was designed to do,
right,
I think
right.
is probably my point. So you made that transition and you're thriving in that. What I like asking this question. So you made a change. So there are two things. What's the greatest surprise that you've gotten positively from your change? And I would say the counter question would be is, you know, what were you not prepared for? You weren't expecting that happened that you had to overcome. So a positive and negative from the change.
Positive and negative. I would say, so positive was like, I was blessed with being able to come over with about 30 listings, which was wonderful because then I was surprised at the amount of leads that do come in off of your own listing. So that was a positive that I was really unsure because, you know, we didn't always get our own leads off of our own listings. So that really helped in closing some deals right off the bat. And so I would say that another positive would just be that I could do it. It wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. I mean, I've always kind of been able to chunk something down and just make it a lot simpler to look at and not just look at the big scary monster of something. So in a way, it was just easier than I thought it would be. And then something negative, I don't think I expected kind of the same answer, like leads, right? Like it's like, oh, now I can't handle all of this, right? So now I'm kind of looking backwards, like maybe I not only need to be on my own, but maybe I actually need some help too. Yeah. Not quite that I really want to grow. I just don't want to drop the ball. Like that is one of my biggest fears in life is dropping the ball on somebody. I will double check my day to make sure that I didn't tell somebody I would do something and then have it fall through the crack.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I remember, you know, starting, you know, my company, you know, back in, what was it? 2002. I think 2002 is when we opened, you know, the brokerage that Bob and I own. And I remember within a year, year and a half saying, you know, I don't want another promotion. The responsibility was so great that I had just enough work to try and keep up with what I had, you know, what I had taken on at that time. And so, you know, that is one of the things about making that change that I recognize. And I think a lot of people that are either contemplating a change or have made a change will find is universal is that there is self-doubt before you make the change. I think there's a universe. If there's not a healthy amount of self-doubt, then you're probably in trouble, you know, for making a change if there's not some healthy self-doubt. And then what we find out is we find out the strengths that we didn't know that we had. You know, I think that's, you know, that's something that you shared there is that you recognize now that, yeah, you could do this and you probably could have done it sooner. You just didn't know it, I suspect.
Well, in my coach, because it was kind of, I wouldn't say it's like out of the blue, like there were thoughts on leaving and stuff, but just one day it just like all came to a head. And so I remember, I forget what day it fell on, but I meet with my coach on Wednesdays and he was like, where are you at? You know, like that is not your office. And I'm like, well, it's my new office. This is my new home. And I think one thing that he told me was like, why didn't you tell me about, I mean, he knew I was like having some struggles and thinking about it, but he was like, why didn't you tell me? Cause I would have had you open your own brokerage. And I'm like, no, I don't want that level of accountability, responsibility. Going on your own from being on a team is a big enough step. And then what you're talking about is like even owning your own brokerage is another big step. Like that wasn't for me.
Yeah. So you mentioned coaching. You have a coach. So are there any things that you would point to and say, this has been an invaluable experience that I had in growing my business? You know, for example, coaching, is there anything that you've done that you would tell everybody, hey, if you want to be successful, this is something that you need to do?
Yes, coaching is one of them, but I would probably start like way earlier in your day is like setting your morning up for success and not just being reactive, but being proactive. So like getting up to an alarm and actually having a plan of intention to do something in the morning. So usually for me, I read for about an hour in the morning and reading, journaling, meditating, things like that. And then from there, my day is just planned strategically. You know, gym appointments are in there too. So taking care of your body, being healthy and things like that, but definitely coaching. I mean, that was another thing that I'm going to do it. I'm thinking I'm going to do it. And then I just never did it. And then change happens. I get a coach and then it was like, why did I wait so long to do that? Like it's priceless. It's invaluable information. And they're like looking at your business only. They're not just telling you like, these are the things that work for everybody in the world. It's like, you're in this kind of market, so you need to be doing this, right?
And that's why I share with people that I prefer coaching to training. And, you know, and the difference for people that, you know, if they haven't heard it before, is that when you go talk to a trainer, they will give you their material that is not specific to you. It is to an audience in all kinds of markets and all kinds of situations, all kinds of points in their career. Where if you can find an experienced and a reputable coach, there's somebody that looks at, and they have the experience to look at where you're at, what the goals are that you're trying to achieve, and they know a good path to get you from where you are to where you want to go, and they can help guide you step by step in order to get there. As opposed to training, and somebody gives you a roadmap, and you don't know where to start when you get home. So many people go home from training, and they never open up the book again.
Like training, you would hear somebody tell you, you should go door knock. And coaches would be like, you live in an area where people aren't home. So don't go door knock, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Very good. So thinking about the people that are listening today that might be newer to the business, or, you know, they're looking for a breakthrough and they don't know how to get there. You know, do you have two or three things that you would suggest that they focus on to move their business forward?
Yes. So I think one of the first things I would say is, like, don't try and do everything. You know, because I think that's what causes a lot of agents to burn out, because they're like, I've got to do this on YouTube, and I got to do this on Instagram, and this one on Facebook, and I got to do open houses, and I got to do this. Like, kind of create your pillars of business and stick to a couple of them at first. And then when you're good at those, then grow a new leg, right? And then I would say my second one, ask for help. Definitely. Like, there's always people willing to help. Personally, myself, I've been wanting to, like, start a social media class, but, like, I keep talking about it and nobody shows up. And I'm just like, okay, let's not do that then. The third one, show up, you know, like, you never know. Okay. Yeah. Show up. So, like, people, you have uptime. You're, like, blessed for people to be able to walk in and just give you business. So, like, be there. You know, I can't tell you how many deals I've done just by sitting there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're not sitting there. You're sitting there while you're working.
Right. Right.
But you're still there, right?
I'm not just twiddling my thumb.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. So you mentioned social media, and that's one of the things that has always impressed me about what you're doing, even more so. Well, I shouldn't say more so than the work ethic, because I think the work ethic is important. But I've noticed that a lot of your marketing is very, very, it's unique. It stands out. You come up with great ideas. So, you know, can you share a little bit about how you, not necessarily that I want people to copy your ideas, but, you know, what is that like, being creative?
It's not hard. You know, like, Tom Ferry always coaches, rip off and duplicate. Like, find what other people are doing and then do it yourself in a different way. Like, don't go copy people's script, like, word for word. So a lot of times I'll just be on social media and I'll see a great idea, but it's used in a different industry. So it's like, how can I use that for real estate, right? I used to use my kids a lot too in there, but now that they're getting older, their friends are on my social media. So they're like, oh, mom, don't post that. Don't post that. The little one, I can still use her from time to time too.
Okay. That's an important point to make, is that I'm not a big fan of copying. And, you know, and I'll share with you why. I mean, it's good to copy best practices, maybe for back-end ideas or processes or checklists or different things like that, because they can be pretty standardized. You want to be something that is different from someone else. I remember, you know, probably 30 years ago when the movie theater in Big Bear started advertising on the movie screen before the movies. And I think it was $100 a month or something. And I started doing that in the very beginning. And I think there was no other real estate agents that were on the movie screen at the time that I did that. And it was just one of the things that I did for several years. And I remember going back to the movies 4 years later, and all of a sudden now, before the movies, there was about 25 different real estate agents that were advertising on the movie screen before the movies. So I stopped spending the $100 because all of a sudden it wasn't worth it anymore. You know, there were people just copying the message. So I like your idea that you take it and you tweak it a little bit, you change it, and you take from other industries as well. The other thing that's really important for people to recognize is that if you are networking with people outside of your marketplace, you can share ideas that you do that work in our marketplace, and they can adopt it for theirs, and they can share ideas that work in their marketplace, and you bring them back, and you're unique here. Right. And I think you've done that because I know you're pretty well known across the nation because I've met real estate agents that know you.
Yeah, I'm a part of a couple different mastermind groups that we meet once a month, and you just get different ideas for here's what's working with me, here's what's working for me. We're both in a vacation rental town kind of thing, so that's always nice to be able to connect with people that are in similar industries too.
Right.
But okay. I did go to the movies the other night, and there was no ads for realtors, so you might want to start that up again, and I won't copy it.
Yeah, it's really surreal to be in a small town and you walk into a local business and you hear people, you know, whispering in the background. They know your name and you don't know who they are.
Right.
And, you know, and we can do that in a small marketplace. I mean, we can make our name that well known, and your name is that well known. I don't think that there's anybody that is in, you know, driving around Big Bear that doesn't know who you are and what you do because of the marketing and the presence that you have. So
I think the most interesting was I was at Stater Brothers, and, you know, I had just gone for a hike in just dirty clothes, sports bra, like just we're running in for milk, you know? And this lady pops out at me and she's like, I know you. And I'm like, well, who are you? And she's like, I've been watching you on YouTube and I came up here to buy a house from you. I'll email you tonight. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is amazing how that works. But now I cannot go to the grocery store in my pajamas, which I never do, but my running clothes either.
Yeah.
Dress more professionally.
Well, that would be one of those surprises that we weren't expecting.
Right.
When we started out. So, you know, I know, you know, you recently got married and you have a family. So I always like to ask, you know, professional working moms, you know, how you balance, you know, what are the techniques that you have to balance a very productive lifestyle, you know, with the home life that you have?
A schedule is like numero uno. And really, I'm better when I have more going on than if I don't have a lot going on. Because if I don't have a lot going on, I'm like, what's the point? You know, if I don't have like five escrows going at once, it's like my brain feels like mush, right? Whereas, you know, you should see my calendar. It is pretty detailed to the minute kind of thing, especially, I mean, with the kids too. So three of them, they're all in sports. They're all in multiple sports too. And it's like, pick up this one at this time, you know, get them to this sport at this time, coach this. I'm the assistant soccer coach this year on several different boards, on several different coaching things. So a lot of times you have to just organize the schedule and what can I hand off? What do I have to do? And what can I move around to make this all happen?
Yeah. So obviously you have extraordinary organizational skills to keep up with all of that in your schedule.
Yes. Yeah. I usually sit down every Sunday and organize my next week. And I'll sit down at the end of the month and organize the month that's coming up. Like, what are the things that I know are going to happen on what dates? What are the days that we can slip away and go down the hill or go do something fun? But try not to overlap too much at once, because that is something that I am really bad at, is I am a yes person. Like, if you ask me to do anything, it's yes. And then I can figure out how to do it later kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's part of our business, is that when somebody says they want our help or they need us, I mean, as self-employed salespeople, the answer is yes, until we get too busy in order to do that. So fascinating. Well, I've watched how hard you work and how busy you are. So I have no doubt. Is there a particular tool that you're using for scheduling?
Just my passion planner. I've been using that for like 5 years. I'm not one of those digital calendar people because I like writing it down. I like it to look pretty. I don't like all the dings and alerts, even though they're going off right now.
Yeah.
So it's just old fashioned paper. And then I do have like a checklist to like organize all my listings. Have everything been done? You know, like open houses on each one, like everything for marketing. Have they been posted on social? Have I done YouTube walkthroughs on them? So it's just a Excel spreadsheet that I just created on my own with all the different things that I know how to do for each different house.
So you have a checklist for all of your listings to make sure that that you don't forget. It's fascinating. You use a handwritten tool for your planning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what's interesting is I'm pretty old school. So I come from back in the day when day timers were what was out there. And I just switched from a day timer to using a Google Calendar for my schedule. And, you know, and part of that isn't that I don't like writing things down. I do like writing things down, but I'm tired of carrying things with me when I'm traveling now. So that's why I'm using the digital tools.
I do use some things on digital calendars, like client anniversaries, you know. So like I put it in there and then I put their email address in there. And then every year they automatically get a video like, congratulations, you've now owned it another year. So like I use the calendar, the digital calendar for things like that, where it's the reminders of stuff that you don't absolutely want in your head, but you need to remember in a way.
Do you have a long-term goal that keeps your mind focused where you're going with your business? A dream?
Not really. it's just work, you know, like on an off day, like if I'm not like completely off in another country, off, like, oh, I wish I could get work today. It's really a weird feeling, I guess you could say. I think it'd be really kind of cool. I mean, Andy just got his real estate license, my husband. So he's looking to possibly help out, take a little bit of load off of me, but he's been able to do a lot of the marketing part of it too, which is again, another blessing of somebody in my life that's like, that's just great at that. Right. I am now looking for a buyer's agent just because I feel like, although I don't want to grow, I don't want anybody to ever look back and say, Rachel dropped the ball on me. You know, I was just at a conference and I had like 8 new buyer leads and I'm just like, I hope I remember this information, right? So it would be nice to be able to have somebody tag team that kind of work with me. And I'd say that that's my future in work right now. Like no goal to create my own brokerage. I do have my brokerage license, but like, I don't want to do that. That's a whole different thing outside of selling real estate.
Yeah. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. They call them brokers. They don't call them richers.
Right.
Just so you know. they're brokers. They're not richers. I mean, it's a completely different lifestyle and a different mindset to be a broker.
And I only got my broker's license in 2014 when I had a kid. And so I had to be up in the middle of the night. And so it was like, I might as well be feeding her and learning something at this right time, right? Because I was still kind of young compared to everybody else who had been in the industry. So me showing up for a listing appointment versus somebody that was older than me, people are going to look at them and say, they know more, right? Yeah. So I figured it was important. I'll just get my broker's license so people have a little bit more respect for what I know and what I can do.
What you're doing. Well, it's been a pleasure hearing you share a lot of these ideas with us today. Take a moment and let everybody that's listening today know where to find you, your website and your social media and how they can reach you.
So I know my website is buyinbigbearlake.com. It might be buyinbigbear.com. I'd have to find out. RachelSmith.remax.com.
There you go.
And then YouTube, Rachel Smith Real Estate, Living in Big Bear, that's on YouTube. But everything else is Rachel Smith Real Estate. So Instagram, Facebook, everything. LinkedIn, Rachel Smith Real Estate.
So I want to thank you, Rachel, for sharing your journey and the strengths that have carried you and your work ethic, your ability to systematize and execute, and your creativity in finding ways to stand out and connect with people. Those are qualities every professional can learn from. And for those listening, if today's episode gave you an idea, encouragement, or a fresh perspective, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with an agent or a friend or an entrepreneur who could use this inspiration. Because here's the truth. Success isn't about shortcuts or hype. It's about showing up. Rachel said that. Putting in the work and finding creative ways to serve. That's the path to mastery. And Rachel has modeled it beautifully today. So thanks for tuning in to Time Tested Mastery Life Lessons Sell. Until next time, keep growing, keep serving, and keep mastering the game of life and business.